Okay, Shalom uvrachot, everybody, and again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Kodesh class learning. So this is really a makeup class. Our schedule was that we were supposed to meet last week. I was unable to present shir last week. I was out of town in a different time zone. So I thank our sponsor very much for accommodating the time change and the schedule change. So this is really last week's shir. Okay, again, Erev Shabbos Parshas Pekudei. We finished the book of Shemos. As always, we are learning the Zecher Nishmasa and the Yilui Nishmasa, Chayash Prinsa Bas Avraham, Allah HaShalom. And we hope that these Divrei Torah will serve as a continuous aliyah and Zechira LaTova for the Neshama, the Ezrat Hashem. With the sponsor's gracious permission, it is my maternal grandfather's yurtzeit tomorrow, 6 Adar Beis. And with your permission, and I thank you, this year is also Zchus for the Aliyah Neshama and Zechiru Latova of my grandfather, who's a Holocaust survivor, Yitzchak Ben Moshe, Alav HaShalom, he should be a Meili Tzioshar, for the entire family, for only Besuras Tovos, Simchas, and Yeshuas. One of the most famous quotes from my grandfather, which I have told you many times, which he wrote in his memoirs, and halavai, in our day and age, we should see this come true. His memoirs are entitled In 7 Camps in 3 Years. He was from Poland, the town of Krasnik. The Germans came right away. And in his memoirs, he says that when we came back from a hard day of slave labor, he was in 7 camps in 3 years. Once the town was liquidated, his family was murdered al Kiddush Hashem, including his wife and his 18-month-old daughter, Devorah, Hashem Yikom Damah. But one of the things he wrote in his memoirs, which I've spoken about many, many times, he said, whoever survived, it was written in Yiddish. My mother had it professionally translated for us a few years ago, but he said, whoever survives this hell, presumably we must have said whoever survives this Gehenna, I haven't seen the original Yiddish, whoever survives this hell will live to see a Jewish state. Whoever survives this hell will live to see the Mashiach. That's what he wrote. And his emunah was, I can't understand, because he wrote, we spoke continuously about the murderers, that they were sent by God. That's what he said. The murderers were sent by God, but he said their end is near. Whoever will survive this hell will live to see a Jewish state. Whoever will survive this hell will live to see Mashiach. So that was his hope and dream, and the dream of so many generations. B'shuv Hashem Hashivatzion Hayinu Kachomim. So halavai, we should be zocha to see the immediate fulfillment of this for Klal Yisrael, all over the world, for Eretz Yisrael, and the coming of the Bias Kol Tzadok immediately and in our days. These words should be as Chosreli and Hashem of Chayish Prince Abbas Avram, as well as Yitzchak Ben Moshe, Aleihem Shalom. So I'm going to begin with something from Mishpacha that I cut out actually in the beginning of February. This date here is February 7th, but I was saving it for this class. I have it on my desk. It says on top, SK, Shabbos Kodesh class. So listen to the story to start our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. It's called Taxi Driver's Take. It's written by Shoshana Friedman, managing editor. Do you know what a chermonit is? The taxi driver asked me on the phone. It's a one-piece snowsuit. I'm driving a Mercedes, and I'll be wearing a chermonit. That's how you'll know me. By the way, I just think that's cool because Mount Hermon, the only place where they get snow in Israel, I mean, I shouldn't say that. Sometimes on very rare occasions, there's some snow in Jerusalem, but in general, where there's consistently snow, it's up in the Hermon. So it's cool that they call a snowsuit a chermonit, just a side point. Do you know what a chermonit is? The taxi driver asked me on the phone. It's a one-piece snowsuit. I'm driving a Mercedes and I'll be wearing a chermonit. That's how you'll know it's me. When the Mercedes pulled up, he was indeed wearing a chermonit, an olive green version of a chermonit with tzahal in big yellow letters on the back. The outfit wasn't the most likely match for his long white beard and his big velvet yarmulke. He's a long white beard, a big velvet yarmulke, and he's wearing a green chermonit that says tzahal on the back. And he wore it with pride. I just got out of Gaza, he said. 90 days. My wife does not even know I'm coming home for Shabbat. I want to first earn a few fares and buy her a nice bouquet of flowers. For the rest of the ride, I didn't say much. We spoke much about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Remember the Gemara on Shabbos, Lamed Gimel Aleph, when finally he comes out of the cave after the 13th year and he sees an old man running with two twigs, and the man says, one for Zachar and one for Shabbar. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's mind was put at ease because he saw how dear Shabbos is to the Jewish people, and the man is buying flowers, twigs, for Shabbos. My wife does not even know I'm coming home for Shabbat. I want to earn a few fares first and buy her a nice bouquet of flowers. But the rest of the ride, I didn't say much. I listened. I just said the occasional why, like means wow, but a met, lo yuman, wow, are you serious? I can't believe it. The driver did all the talking, and here's the gist of his earthly fusion of war reporting, security analysis, and his bedrock faith. The taxi driver's story is a combination of war reporting, security analysis, and bedrock faith. 90 days in Gaza, the first 47 without a shower. Do you know what that means? 47 days without a shower. So obviously none of us could comprehend what that means. The first night I turned my socks inside out so they would be a little fresher the next morning. The next night I found a little cold water and I rinsed them. The third night I gave up. Socks are the least of your problems when you're living in a tank and risking your life every time you stick your head out. Believe me. So after 47 days, they gave us the night off. Not enough time to go home. Just enough time for a short break. There was only one thing I wanted, a shower. So I headed to Ashkelon to a hotel. I figured I could rent a room there. But the entire hotel was filled with evacuated families. The only room available was the suite. You know how much a suite costs for a night? For one night, guess. You can't guess, I'll tell you. 1,670 shekel. Not just 1,000 shekel, not just 1,600, 1,670 shekel. And I paid every last shekel. Finally, finally, I peeled off my socks. You can't imagine how hard they were. I couldn't stand it, so I could stand in the shower for an hour and 45 minutes straight. The next morning, I was back in the shower for 30 minutes, and I was back at base. Yossi, my buddy, said, "Where were you? We had a great time last night. We played backgammon. We had barbecue. We missed you." "Who needs shashbash when you can take a shower?" I said. "The most expensive shower of my life. I don't even own my own apartment. I don't know if I'll ever own my own apartment. I don't think I'll ever qualify for a mortgage. But for that shower, I found the money." You can't imagine what we saw there in Gaza. In other words, this whole article is his stream of talking. And all she interjects is, "Why, Ba'amet, will you man?" You can't imagine what we saw in Gaza. I was in a house, a kid's bedroom, and under the kid's bed, I found a whole collection of RPGs. You have to wonder about the parents there. How can you keep such dangerous stuff under your own child's bed? But of course, they have different aims for their children. We have to remember, they're not like us. It's not so far away, Gaza. Not even 2 hours away. But it's a different planet over there. Melchama is a whole different existence. And our boys, you have to see our boys. They're so brave. They're so determined. They're so happy to be defending the people on the land. 19-year-old kids, you'd be stuffing money with their pockets for the first day. And here they are in a tank fighting for their country. 90 days sounds long, nechon? They swore those boys they'll stay there for 300 days if that's what it takes. May Hashem keep them safe. May he bring them all home soon. What can I tell you? I was there. I've seen what we're up against. I don't know how much longer we can keep going. This little country is so much stacked against us. But we have him, capital H. Remember, we have him. He will get us home safely. He has the solutions. So here we are. We set the price in advance. You know how much you have to pay me. A tip would be nice too. Remember, I still have to buy flowers for my wife. Thank you. Stay safe. Shabbat Shalom. And it ends. I loved it. So when you take your shower later, the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, the Rambam writes, you should wash in honor of Shabbos. Think of that story. And if you're having flowers for Shabbos, you should also think of that story. Now I want to share an insight with you from the Chassam Sofer that my son Shmuel shared with me. He called one day this week, so I quickly got a pen and a paper. And as soon as I saw where the insight was going, I wrote it down. And I also, it's so beautiful for this class. So I want to share this insight with you. First, I'm going to take you to Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, because it's based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. 1 second. Coming back to you so I could screen share. Here we go. Okay, so you should be able to see that I switched to Pirkei Avos. I'm just getting my pointer. Okay, could you see? Oh, I can't really see anybody. Yeah, I could see Susan, Sean and Paula. Can you see I'm in Pirkei Avos? Yeah, okay, thank you so much. So this is an insight from the Chassam Sofer that my son Shmuel told me. I don't remember who in Yeshiva told it over this week. I don't remember in whose name he said it was given over. One of the Rabbeim in Yeshiva Darchei Torah Mesifta. Okay, so the last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us as follows. This is very, very cool. Pay attention. The last Mishnah in Parak Aleph of Pirkei Avos says as follows. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, the world stands upon three things. Sometimes we look at the world today and you wonder, what on earth is the world standing upon? Standing upon our Torah, that's for sure. Standing upon our tefillah and our ma'asim tovim. That's the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Al Shosh Advarim Olam Oyim Al Meira Al Torva Al Voda Val Gnidas Chasadim. But Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel tells us something else. And what does he tell us? Al Hadin V'Al HaEmes V'Al HaShalom. Okay? The first Mishnah tells us about what the world is Kayam. Torah, Voda, Gmilas, Chasadim. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel tells you something else. The world stands upon three things. What are these three things? Al Hadin, Va'al HaEmes, Va'al HaShalom. These three pillars, these three institutions, justice, truth, and peace, are integral for the world to continue to stand. Today, and it seems as if the world is imploding around us. The truth is there is no din, there is no emes, and there is no shalom. Our tafkid as Jews is to ensure that we live lives of din, emes, and shalom. Justice, truth, and peace. Shanemar, how do you know that the world is standing on these three things? Because the pasuk says from Zechariah, emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'arecham. Emes, truth, mishpat, din, judgment, justice, shalom, peace, shifti b'sha'arecham, you shall execute in your gates. So the Mishnah, this pasuk in Zechariah, Perachas, is telling you, if you want, sha'arecham is a, it literally means gates, but in Tanakh it's used as cities. Wano is city, b'sha'ar here. So the gates of the city represent the opening of the city. So what do you need? If you want your cities, the gates of the cities to be upheld, you need truth, you need justice, you need peace. So that's what Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says. The world stands on three things, al-hadin va'al-ha'emes va'al-ha'sham, on justice, truth, and peace. Keep that in mind. And now we're going to a pasuk from the beginning of Parshas Vayakra. This Shabbos, as in tomorrow, we're going to learn Parshas Pekudei, Shabbat Chazak, Vayakra and Pekudei, even though we read Vayakra last week. Vayakra and Pekudei are malachas ha-mishkan. I should say, rather, actually, Binyan HaMishkan. Truma Tetzav, the beginning of Kitisha, are the instructions for the creation of Mishkan. Vayakra and Pekudei are the actual Binyan of the Mishkan. Remember, we've quoted Salvechik, not recently, but the Rav speaks about Shabbos and Mishkan. Sanctuary in space, sanctuary in time. Mishkan says, why is Rav speaking about this? Because there's four different places where the Chumash connects the topics of Shabbos and Mishkan. One of them you see on the screen right now. Four times, once in Kitisha, once in Vayakel, once in Parshas Kedoshim, as Mikdashi Tirov, as Shamsosai Tishmro, and Ni Hashem, the fourth place, I don't remember where it is, in Chumash, but there's four different times when the Torah connects the Indian of Mishkan Mikdash, the holy sanctuary where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests amongst us, Kaviyachal, and Shabbos. So the question is, why are Shabbos and Mishkan put together? If you have to build a Mishkan, it's very nice. Why is Shabbos put by the topic of Mishkan, which is what you see on the screen? So Rashi says to tell you that as important as Mishkan is, you must build the sanctuary and the temple for God. It does not push off Shabbos. So when Erev Shabbos comes, the laborers go home, they take their showers for Shabbos, they buy flowers for their wife for Shabbos, they peel off their socks for Shabbos. You have Shabbos, you stop working on Mishkan. Is how we derive the Lamatas Malachos, because anything that they did in the Mishkan, which was Malachas Machshaves, constructive work, we don't do on Shabbos. It's not only the Halachas of Shabbos, when you think about it, Tashkafically, a reminder that as important as Mishkan and Mikdash are, and it's very important to have a resting place for God amongst us, Shabbos takes precedence. Why? Because you could say that Shabbos were also creating a resting place for God, not a finite place in geography, not Mishkan in the Midbar, not Mishkan in Shiloh, but rather not the Mikdash on Har Habayis. We're creating a sanctuary for Shabbos wherever we are. We are building a structure, i.e. Shmir Shabbos, where God comes and dwells. So Rashi says the reason that Shabbos and Mishkan, Mikdash, are put together in juxtaposition is to teach you that of course you have to build a Mikdash, but when Shabbos comes, you stop. Shavisa, cessation. We're not building on Shabbos. Shabbos takes precedence. Rav Salvechik says in that essay, though we have survived 2,000 years without the Beis HaMikdash, we would not have survived without Shabbos. It's a fact. We're, Baruch Hashem, still here and ongoing in the merit of what? Shabbos. Do we daven? And then he concludes and he says, it's a much longer essay, I'm quoting one sentence. And then he says at the end, of course, we pray that soon we will be able to have both. The Mishkan, i.e. Mikdash, I should say, and Shabbos. But in the interim, which one ensures our survival? Well, clearly, Beis HaMikdash doesn't ensure our survival. Do we daven for it? Of course. Do we long for it? Yes, but does it ensure our survival? No. How do I know? Because it's almost 2,000 years without Beis HaMikdash, Rechama Al-San, and here we are. What ensures our survival? Shabbos Kodesh. So therefore, when we learn about Mishkan and the Chumash, we have to know that, yes, Mishkan is very, very important, but Shabbos is more important. Salvechik says it's We have survived 2,000 years without the Mikdash. We would not have survived without Shabbos. Of course, there's another expression. I don't know who coined it. It's not that the Jews keep Shabbos. It's that Shabbos keeps the Jews. So at the beginning of Parshas Vayakal, which is the sister Parsha of Parshas Pekudei, which is this week's Parsha. Vayakal we read this past Shabbos. Pekudei we read tomorrow on Shabbos Kodesh. And these Parshios are go hand in hand with each other because it's bringing the Mishkan. It's the building of the Mishkan. How does the building of the Mishkan begin? What I just told you, Parak Lamed Hei of the book of Shemos. Vayakom Moshe's called the Spnei Yisrael Vayomer Aleihem. Moshe gathered an entire assembly of the children of Israel and he said to them, Eila Dvar Mashir Tziva Hashem Lasos Osem. These are the things that Hashem commanded that you shall do. Now the fact that it says these are the things in plural, it should say Zaha Davar Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos Oso. And then tell me about Mishkan. These are the parshas of Mishkan, right? So it should say, this is the thing, singular, that God commanded that you shall do. Let's build the Mishkan. Why does it say these are the things, plural, that Hashem commanded you shall do them? Obviously, we must be referring to more than one thing. It can't just be referring to Mishkan, because then it would say davar, not dvarim. So what are the things that Hashem commanded that we should do? Oh, before we start building Mishkan, for 6 days work may be done, and on the seventh day is holy for you. Anyone who does work on Shabbos, Edim Hasra'a, witnesses, warning, public Shabbos desecration, knowingly, not talking about a Tinek Shinishba, who has no idea what even Shabbos is, knowingly he chooses to desecrate the Shabbos after he's warned and after there's witnesses, so he's put to death by Beis Din. And then the Pasuk says, Lo sivaru ish b'chamash v'sechem b'yom ha-Shabbos. You shall not kindle a fire in all of your dwelling places on the Shabbos day. I need to know that you could see my screen because I'm going to be showing you something cool with the letters. Yes, you could. Okay, fine. Thank you so much. Okay. So, well, my son told me this Dvar Torah of the Chasam Sofer, which is based on Pasuk Gimel that you see right here. I added something to him, and the Balei Musar say it's brought down in many Sfarim. It's brought down by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita and in other Sfarim. Literally means you shall not kindle fire in all your dwelling places over Shabbos, which obviously it is usher to do. Bishul, we don't light a fire, but this refers to the fire of anger, hashkafically, not the pshat. The Balei Musar say you shall not have the fire of anger in all your dwelling places on the Shabbos day. Now, it doesn't mean you should be angry on all the other days of the week either. We should strive to never be angry, to never give in to kas. But the problem is the Yetzer Hara is stronger. When there's more Kedusha, he works even harder. Shabbos has increased and enhanced Kedusha. Zachar Siyam HaShabbos LeKadusha. Remember the Shabbos day to sanctify it. Shabbos is in and of itself the definition of Kedusha. We call it Shabbos Kodesh. It says right here, Obayam HaShvi Yalachem Kodesh. We don't say that about the Yemei Achol. Of course, every time you do a mitzvah, every time you learn Torah, every time you dab and say a kapitel tehillim, you're enhancing the Kedusha in the world. But the weekdays are called Chol. Chol means profane. Only Shabbos is called Kodesh. Yom Kippur, of course, so it's similar to Shabbos. So Shabbos is a day of increased Kedusha. The more Kedusha, the harder the Yetzer Hara works. Because that's a great danger to him. The more Kedusha, the more the Yetzer Hara is in danger. So, Los of our Ish, B'chamash Hasechem B'yam HaShabbos, refers to do not kindle the fire of anger. Also, something to keep in mind when we do our Shabbos preparations, it might be hectic in our home. Closer to Shabbos, we always have a time limit, first of the late Shabbos. So, today we have a nice amount of extra time before Shabbos comes in. But we have to be very careful. As Kedusha increases, the Yetzer Hara's battle also increases. And we have to make sure to stay far away from Kas on the Shabbos day. Okay, let's look at this Pasuk. Perek Lamed Hei, Parshas Vayakal, Sefer Shmos, Pasuk Gimel. This is so cool. We're going to be looking at the Sofei Tevos of the word. We know that Lashon HaKodesh is such a holy language. It is the divine language. It's the language of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are embedded lessons in every aspect of Lashon HaKodesh. Not only Shorashim, which we focus a lot on in our learning, not only juxtaposition of topics, which we just spoke about, why Shabbos put by Mishkan in four different places, even individual letters, gematrias, Roshei Tevos, Sofei Tevos, it all comes to teach us something. We are going to look at the Sofei Tevos of this Pasuk. Lo ends in an Aleph. Siva'aru ends with a Vav. Eish ends with a shin. Bechol ends with a lamed. Mosh Hoseichem ends with a mem. Biyam ends with a mem and a Shabbos. It's helpful if you're going to look at the screen. for what I'm teaching, because you're going to need to pay attention to the Sophie Tevis. Okay, so I wrote it on my own paper with my son. I didn't have the Chumash in front of me. When my son called me, lo, watch this. The Sophie Tevos of these words spell Shalom and Emes. The Sophie Tevos, the last letters of the words in this pasuk, together spell Shalom, peace, and Emes. Remember, I started on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and truth. How so? Let's look at this. Emes. Lo ends with an aleph. That's the emes of, that is the aleph of emes. We go to the end of the pasuk. Biyom ends with a mem. Hashabbos ends with a tav. The first word and the last two words of the pasuk, the Sophie Tevis spell emes. Lo ends in an aleph. Biyom ends with a mem. Hashabbos ends with a tav. That spells emes. Truth. Truth is one of the pillars that holds up the world. On Shabbos, we must always be Balei Emes, just like we must never be angry. But we have to make sure that we live according to the Emes, the Amito, of the values of being a Jew, of the Halachos of being a Jew, and the Hashkafos and the Amud of being a Jew. And on Shabbos, that should be enhanced and increased. Again, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be Amistic the whole week, just like you shouldn't go around being angry the whole week. But since Shabbos is more Kedusha, this idea of Emes is heightened on Shabbos. And the final remaining words, Sivaru Eish B'chol Moshvaseichem, the Sophie Tevos spell, what do you think it's going to spell? This spells Emes, so this spells Shalom. Look, Eish ends with a Shin, B'chol ends with a Lamid, Sivaru ends with a Vav, and Moshvaseichem ends with a Mem. Those Sophie Tevos spell Shalom. Says the Chassam so far, the Sophie Tevos of this Pasuk spell Emes and Shalom. Beautiful. Already it's Gevalda, because you see, imagine how much is hidden in every single Pasuk in Chumash that we don't even see. So first of all, we have two questions. Question number one, where's Din? If the world stands apart, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Din, look, let's go back to the Mishnah for a minute. Right here, you see it on the screen. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, the world stands on three things. Ala din va'ala emes va'ala shalom. So now we said that we see in this pasuk, Perek Lamed Hei, pasuk Gimel, the pillars of emes and the pillars of shalom. What about din? That's one kasha. And the other kasha is, the Chassam Sofer is going to answer both of these. The other kasha is, why is emes and shalom broken up? Emes is from the word lo, biyam ha-shabbos. That's how you get MS from the Sophie Tevis of Lo, first word of the Pasuk, B'yam HaShavis, last two words of the Pasuk. Stuck in the middle is an allusion to the word Shalom. Lo Sevaru Eish B'chol Moshvaseichem, an allusion to the word Shalom. So why is that the case, that the Shalom is in between MS? Okay, so now let's answer our questions. We're going to answer the second question first. Why is the allusion to Shalom in the middle of the word Emes? So my son said, because the Chassam Sofer says, you have to know when to break up Emes for the sake of Shalom. Now, this is based on a strong principle of Chazal. We see many applications of it in Chumash. When Sarah Imenu said, my husband is old, in Perek Ches of Bereishis, Hashem said to Avram that Sarah said, I'm old. Sarah didn't say, I, Sarah, I'm old. Sarah said, Adoni Zaki, my master, i.e. Avram, my husband, is old. So why did Hashem, whose seal is Emes, Shabbos 55, Chos Moshal Kos Baruch Hu Emes, why did Hashem, whose whole seal is Emes, say to Avram, Sarah said she is old. That's not what she said. She said, my husband's old. But when Hashem told over the report to Avram, he said, Sarah said, I am old. So Chazal teach us, Shein b'davarim pnei Hashem, even though Kosh Baruch Hu, whose seal is Emes, first, middle, and last letters of the Alpi spell Emes. So Hashem is the definition of Emes in the most pure, 100% infinite sense, more than we can understand. Kosh Baruch Hu is teaching us that sometimes you need to break up Emes with Shalom. How do you see that in the Pasuk? Lo b'yom HaShabbos. The allusions to Emes is broken up in the middle by Shalom. Another place you see this, in Parak Nun of Sefer Bereishis. When the brothers say to Yosef, father commanded, before he died, you shouldn't be angry at us. No, father never said that. Father wasn't choshed that Yosef would ever take revenge against the brothers. Once again, Rashi says, Shina b'davar b'nei HaShalom. Sometimes you have to break up truth for the sake of peace by the Sota. The Sota waters in Parshas Naso, you take the name of the Kosh Baruch Hu on a parchment, and you put it in waters from the Kiyar, with dirt from the ground of the Beis Hamikdash, and you erase Hashem's name. How could Hashem allow his name to be erased? We have truckloads of Shemesh, we have boxes of Shemesh, we're not to take Hashem's name in vain. How could you put a parchment with Shem Hashem and it got be erased in the Mayim HaMa'orim, the illuminating waters? How could we do that? Once again, Hashem says, I allow my name to be erased, said Kosh Baruch Hu, for the sake of shalom between husband and wife. So I'm just giving you three examples. I just dropped a paper from my notes on the floor. 1 second, please. Sorry. So, my Kosh Baruch Hu is teaching us, I just brought three places from Chumash, Avram and Sarah, Yosef and the brothers, Sota waters, where Hashem teaches us through his action, so to speak. Sometimes you need to break up emes for the sake of shalom. So therefore, in this pasuk, says the Chasam Sofer, you see that emes is broken up with shalom. Lo b'yom HaShabbos, first, last two letter words, allude to emes. Sevaru eish b'chomash v'seichem, so v'hetevis pal shalom. Because you have to know when to introduce shalom and into emes, and sometimes you have to break up emes for the sake of peace. So that answers our question about why it's broken up. Now we still have a question, where is Din? Din, Shalom, and Emes are the three pillars upon which the world stands. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So where is Din? It's absent. Why? Because this pasuk is speaking about Shabbos. And the Beis Din is not allowed to put one to death on Shabbos. The Beis Din executes Din. The Beis Din carries out Din. We just said on this pasuk Beis, that the pasuk tells us, "Call also b'malachu you must." Anyone who does work on Shabbos shall be put to death. Anyone who knowingly commits malachas machshavas on Shabbos, not someone who has no education about Yahadus and doesn't even know it's Shabbos because they're like a captive baby with no knowledge of Chamal, son of God, or Yahadus or Shabbos Kodesh. Someone who knowingly commits malacha on public on Shabbos, and there are two witnesses, Edim and Hasra'ah. There's warning. The Beis Din puts him to death. Call Shabbat malacha you must. That's what Paraklam at Hey Pesach Beis comes to teach you. Okay? Why? Because Shabbos, for 6 days, work may be done. But on the seventh day, it is holy for you. It is a cessation of cessations. A cessation for God. Call Shabbat malacha you must. The Beis Din puts people to death for those who knowingly transgress the Shabbos. Along comes Pasuk Gimel and says, wait. It is true that the Beis Din puts someone to death for committing the crime of being Mechalal Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. There is no din on Shabbos, i.e. the Beis Din does not put, they do not execute judgment on Shabbos. That's why the Chasam Sofer says the allusion to din is missing from Pasuk Gimel. The fact that din is missing is exactly what the Pasuk wants to teach you. On Shabbos, there is no din. The Beis Din ceases on Shabbos to execute judgment, and that's why those who are Ish B'chamash V'sechem Yom HaShabbos as an allusion to Emes, last letters of Lo B'yom HaShabbos, as an allusion to Shalom, last letters of Ish B'chol Sivaru Mosh V'sechem. Sometimes you have to know when to break up Emes with Shalom. And furthermore, there's no din. The third pillar, so to speak, does not exist on Shabbos. That's why din is absent. You don't only learn from what's written on the Chumash, you learn from what's not written on the Shabbos. No, what did I just say? You don't only learn from what's written in the Chumash, you learn from what's not written in the Chumash. So the fact that an allusion to din is absent in this pasuk is exactly what the Torah wants you to know. There's no din on Shabbos. So yes, pasuk Beis tells you, call Shabbat Malacha you must. The Beis Din puts to death anyone who knowingly transgresses the holy Shabbos day. But pasuk Gimel on Shabbos there's no din. Therefore there's no allusion to din. And there my son concluded by saying, I don't know, unfortunately, he told me that it's in the beginning of Yevamos. The Beis Din doesn't put anyone to death on Shabbos. It's from the beginning of Maseches Yevamos. So look at this one pasuk, and look what the Chasam Sofer sees, and look how it's connected to the Mishnah and Perkei Avos. Connection between Torah Shabbal Peh, Pirkei Avos. Torah Shebichtav, Parshas Vayakel, and the godless of our Gedolim, our Talmidei Chachamim, and our leaders to see every letter. It's such a gewaldic var, mamish, unbelievable. Again, I wrote it down for myself on a paper, so if you're going to need it to explain at your Shabbos table later, it doesn't take so long to write down. Once you see the Pasuk and the Mishnah, it's easy to... I shouldn't say it's easy, that was the wrong word. Once you see the Pasuk and the Mishnah, it's clear how the Sofei table spell Shalom and Emes. Din is absent because the Gemara beginning with Vamos, my son told me, says, Beis Din doesn't put anyone to death on the Shabbos. That's exactly what it wants you to learn, Din. And therefore, what do you conclude from here? My son said, finally, we learned that Shabbos is upheld by Emes and Shalom. We have to make sure that these two pillars permeate our homes, ourselves, and our lives on Shabbos. The Midah of Emes, the Midah of Shalom, and the art of knowing when sometimes you have to stretch the emes a little. Lo b'yom haShabbos. Emes is stretched out a little for the sake of Shalom. So I thought that was extremely beautiful, and I was very excited to share it with you. Okay, so where we are up to in our learning, we're in the Sefer of Shimshon Pinchas. We're actually in the middle of a Medrash. Medrash Ashmos Rabbah. I wrote down exactly where we're up to, but I'm going to tell you where we're up to in the Sefer. We're on page 74. Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh. Okay. Excuse me. Okay. What is the basic difference? I'm going to start, and we're up to really the third paragraph, but I'm recapping so you all know where we're up to, okay? What is the basic difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? Each holiday is a special mitzvah, while Shabbos does not. Pesach has the mitzvah coming up very soon. Pesach has the mitzvah of matzah. It also has the mitzvah of Leil Seder. It has the mitzvah of Arba Kozos. It has the mitzvah of lo sa'asei dunadi chometz. Rosh Hashanah has shofar. Yom Kippur has fasting. Teshuvah. Vidui. Sukkos has the sukkah and the lulav. All these mitzvahs are like an engine that generates the kedusha of the day. Just like a car can't go without an engine. So Sukkos needs the arba minim and leishi basukkah in order to invest it and give it the engine of kedusha. Matzah is called lechem demei menusa, okay, the Zohar, the bread of faith. Because, says Rav Shimshon Pinchas, it brings a person into having amuna and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. When we ingest the matzah, we fulfill the mitzvah. When we remember that Kodesh Baruch Hu matzah represents that Hashem took us from slavery to freedom. Me'afela la'ora mishibud de'geula. So it brings us to a place of amuna. The sound of the shofar, the chefes mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, the object mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, penetrates the depths of our neshama and affects us. Middle of page 74. Shabbos has none of these. The very word Shabbos is derived from the word shavisa. Shavisa means cessation from activity, which is something that I've stressed countless times. If we were to define the essence of Shabbos, what's the special mitzvah of Shabbos? Don't forget the fair. I still have to go home and take a shower, and I want to buy flowers for my wife for Shabbat. But what is the mitzvah of Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos? If someone said, you know, what defines Shabbos? What defines Rosh Hashanah? We go to Shul and here we hear shofar, Chanukah. The Chanukah, Purim, Mishloach Manos, Megillah, Matanos Avyonim. What defines the essence of Shabbos? What is the mitzvah of Shabbos? You wouldn't be able to answer. The truth is, what is the one mitzvah? Flowers, yes, but they're not unique only to Shabbos. Sometimes you have flowers for the Yomim Tovim. Sometimes you might have flowers during the week. So what is the essence mitzvah, the Cheves mitzvah of Shabbos? Doesn't have one. Because Shabbos is cessation. The essence of Shabbos is Shavisa. Says of Shimshon Pinchas, the very word Shabbos is derived from the word Shavisa, cessation from activity. If we were to define the essence of Shabbos, says Rav Pinchas, we would point to this word. That's it. That's what Shabbos is. Someone wants to know what Shabbos is? The word itself. It is an absence of everything else. I underlined this a few times in my own Sefer. You want to know what the Chefes Mitzvah of Shabbos is? An absence of everything. Shabbos is a cessation of the activity that preceded it. Yom Tov, says Rav Pinchas, is compared to a picture. Each Yom Tov has its own beautiful scene. So Yom Tov is a painting. Sukkos has, why am I starting at the end of the year? I don't know. Pesach has its own painting. Shavuos has its own painting. Sukkos has its own painting. Each one has its own beautiful scene. But Shabbos is like a mirror. It has no content of its own. If you were drawing a picture of Shabbos, we're not talking about everyone sitting around the Shabbos table, sings mirrors, divrei Torah. What is included in this picture? So Pesach, I know, Arba Kosos, Matzah, Leil HaSeder, cleaning out Chametz, Shavuos, Chag HaBikurim, bringing the Shtei HaLacham, Matan Torah, Sukkos Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Besukkos Teshvu, Arba Minim, but what am I painting for Shabbos? Shabbos is like a mirror. It has no content of its own. There's nothing to paint for Shabbos. It depends on what we make Shabbos. Shabbos, Rav Pinkus, this is a quote. Shabbos is like a mirror, quote. It has no content of its own. In other words, it reflects what we put into Shabbos. So if we're wearing Big Day Shabbos, and our Shabbos neiros are there, and the table is set, and we have challah, we have Zmir Santara, then our mirror is a Shabbos of Kedusha. Shabbos reflects only what you put into Shabbos. If Chas V'Shalom, the home does not radiate with these things, then imagine what the mirror of Shabbos is going to be reflecting. Shabbos is like a mirror. It has no content of its own. Shabbos is a day on which the whole world stops. No plowing, no cooking, no writing, etc. And when everything stops, what's left? If there's nothing else in the world, what is there? Only Hashem! Exclamation mark. On this day, there is no world. There is only Hashem. Therefore, the mirror of Shabbos reflects the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kaviyachal. How do we tangibly bring that to fruition? By behaving in a way, speaking in a way, davening and sharing Divrei Torah in a way, serving food and clothing that affects HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our home. The mirror, the picture of Shabbos is only Shavisa from the world. When the world ceases, there's only room for God. That means it is incumbent upon us to create an environment and an aura where Hashem's presence is palpable. Hashem's presence is palpable. That's what our mirror will reflect. Therefore, the mirror of Shabbos reflects Hashem. That is why we say that Shabbos is the day of Hashem. So, that was a new paragraph. We didn't do that last time. But I'm going to just finish the Medrash. I marked down exactly where we were up to. This idea that on Shabbos there's nothing else except Hashem reminded me of Medrash Shemos Rabbah, which I began to tell you last time. You're going to remember, I hope, as soon as I say it. Remember last time we spoke about Kapitel 92 of Tehillim? Sadi Beis, Mizmar Shir Li Yom HaShabbos, Tov Lo Dosa Hashem Lazam Hashim Chal Yon, Nagiba Bechastach, Vom Nascha Baleilus, Alei Osar V'Alei Novel, Alei Hi Goyon Bechina. Remember, we play musical instruments. What is Alei Osar? So if you remember, the Mishnah says, Alei Osar is Alei the Kabbal Aser Sadibros. You should remember that now that I'm saying it. That it shouldn't say, I'm quoting, it's Medrash Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Chof Tes, Simon Tes. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem said to Israel, Mekablin Atam Aseres HaDibros? Are you accepting the Aseres HaDibros? Amar Lohein, they said yes. How do we know? Shanema, like the Pasuk says, in the Kapitel of Tehillim, we say tonight after the Chadodi, we say tomorrow, Psukei Dezirma, and it's also the Shir Shoyam of Shabbos. So you're saying this Pasuk, Kapitel multiple times over Shabbos, like the pasuk says, "Alei Osar va'Alei Novel." Upon a Osar, a 10-stringed instrument, what is Osar reference to? Alei the Kabbal Aseres HaDibros. This kapitel is an integral part of our Shabbos davening, and when we say these words, what we're saying is, I remember Alei upon me Osar is upon me and incumbent upon me to accept the Aseres HaDibros. Next, the Medrash continues. Umahu Hashem Elokim Diber Milo Inave. When God speaks, who will not? When with the voice of Hashem has spoken, Milo Inave. So the Medrash is trying to understand, what does that mean? What does that mean? The plain meaning of Milo Inave is who will not prophesy, who will not have nevuah. However, the Medrash is going to interpret it differently. Amar Rabbi Abau B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan Kishanasan Hakadosh Baruch Hu Torah. Every Shabbos we are reaccepting the Aseres HaDibros. Alei Osar. Think about it tonight when you say this kapitel, Mizmar Shel Mashabbos. Upon me is incumbent to reaccept the Aseres HaDibros every Shabbos. What happened when Hashem gave the Aseres HaDibros? What are we reaccepting every Shabbos? Kishanasan Kosh Baruch Hu Torah, Tzipor Lo Tzalach, Of Lo Parach, Shor Lo Ga'a. When Hashem gave the Torah, the whole world ceased. And every Shabbos when we accept the Aseres HaDibros, when we re-accept the Aseres HaDibros, we have to remember that the whole world is ceasing. When God gave the Torah, the bird didn't chirp. The fowl did not fly. The ox did not low. The cow didn't moo. Ofanim lo afu, the ofanim, the heavenly angels, were not flying. Srafim lo amu kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. The srafim in Shemayim did not say kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Hayam lo nizda'aza, the sea was not moving. There were no waves, no white caps, no crashing on the shore. Habrios lo dibru, nobody spoke. Ela ha'olam shoseik u'machrish. The world was silent and deafened, as if, meaning like mute. The world was not saying anything. V'yatza kol anochesh elokecha. So now we understand why Shabbos is a sense of shavisha. Every Shabbos we reaccept Aseres HaDibros. Alay Asar v'alay Navel. Alay Asar, every Shabbos, Mizrush Yom HaShabbos, I reaccept Hashem, your Aseres HaDibros upon myself. If I'm reaccepting the Aseres HaDibros, I have to recreate an environment in which the Aseres HaDibros was given. What is the environment in which the Aseres HaDibros was given? We just read in the Medrash. There was nothing except God. The birds weren't flying, the cows weren't mooing, the waves were not crashing, even the angels were silent. In order to hear the voice of Hashem, there has to be silence. That's Shabbos. In order to feel the presence of God and hear the voice of Hashem in this world and cease the craziness of the world around us, that's the only way we can hear Kol Shvarchu. V'yatza kol anoche Hashem alkecha. You want to hear the voice of God? Alei Osar. You want to once again reaccept the Sar Zadiros? That's good. That's beautiful. But the whole world has to be silent around you. The Pasuk says in Devarim, the Medrash continues, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Perek Hey, it's by the Aseres HaDibros in Devarim, in Parshas Vaschana, when Moshe repeats them, Asha Devarim Ha'ela, Dibra Hashem El Kol Kahalchem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, these words, meaning the words of the Aseres HaDibros, Hashem spoke to your entire congregation. Kol Gadol V'lo Yasaf. Pasuk says in Devarim that when Hashem gave the Aseres HaDibros, he spoke these words to your entire assembly and congregation of Israel. Kol Gadol was a great voice, V'lo Yasaf. What does it mean, v'lo yasaf? Yod samich pei is an interesting shoresh. It has two opposite meanings. On the one hand, it means did not stop or cease. On the other hand, it means to continue. There's different places in Chumash where you see this word has opposite meanings. But here the Medrash says, what does it mean? Hashem's voice was very great. It did not cease. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, "Mahu v'lo yasaf." What does it mean at the time of the giving of the Torah, Hashem's voice was v'lo yasaf? Ella, kisha Adam kore lechaveru yesh the kol abaskar. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, when a man calls out to his friend, there's an echo. Basko is an echo. Sometimes, if I'm speaking in a venue with not the best acoustics or it's a very large space, you hear that there's an echo. That's exactly what the Medrash says. When one man calls to his fellow, there is a bas call to his call, or his voice, and then there's the daughter of the voice, i.e. the echo. V'akol shahayu yotzei mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the time of the giving of the Torah, when the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came out into the world, lo haya l'kol bas call. The time of the giving of the Torah, there was not even an echo of Hashem's voice. You could imagine that when Hashem's voice came out, everything in the world ceased. It's in the most vast space you could imagine. And the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is booming, Anoch Hashem Elkecha, wouldn't there be multiple echoes bouncing off all the surfaces of the world? Especially because there's no background noise. Just like Shabbos, there's no background noise. So if the birds aren't flying and the angels aren't singing and the cow's not lowing and the grass is not swaying and the waves aren't crashing, of course there's going to be an echo of the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, at the time of the giving of the Torah, Kol Gadol was a loud voice, V'lo Yasaf, there was no echo. There was no bas call of Hashem's call. Why? So the Art School footnote says, God made sure there would be no other sounds of any kind, not from animals, not from nature, not from angels, not from people. There should be no other sounds accompanying God's voice at Har Sinai in order to make sure no one would make a mistake and said there was another deity. Hashem was saying, Anoch Hashem Elkecha. Oh, but there was another deity, another God also. Chas Hashem saying, Anoch Hashem Elkecha. Hashem said complete cessation at the time of the giving of the Torah. Alei Asar, every Shabbos. Is Mashem Shabbos? Tov Ados Hashem, Lazam Lashim Chayon. Yes, Alei Asar. Every Shabbos, I reaccept the Aseres HaDibros upon myself. But if I'm reaccepting the Aseres HaDibros upon myself, it means I have to create the aura in which the Aseres HaDibros were given. What is that? Complete silence. On Shabbos, we only hear the voice of Hashem. There should be room for nothing else in our lives. The Medrash ends. I see the time. I know we all have to get ready for Shabbos. I don't like when this class goes over out of respect for everyone's Shabbos preparation. But I just want to finish the last line of the Medrash. Shall we finish this Medrash? Kishadibra Kosh Baruch Hu al Sinai concludes the Medrash. When Hashem spoke on Har Sinai, Hishtik Kol Ha'olam. Kosh Baruch Hu silenced the entire world. Kedei sheyedu habrios she'ein chutz mimenu. Va'amar no Hashem Elkecha. At the time of the giving of the Aseres HaDibros, Hashem silenced the whole world. Why? So every one of creation would know that there is no God other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And that is the essence of Shabbos. On Shabbos, I dropped the paper again, I'm sorry. On Shabbos, we have Shavisa in order to recreate the reacceptance of the Aseres HaDibros. But just like then, there was no voice other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Shabbos comes to our home, Alei Asar, we reaccept the Aseres HaDibros. We realize that all the insanity of the world melts away because our home is special and it's only us and Hashem. And Shabbos is upheld by the principles of Emes and Shalom. On Shabbos, there is no din. But sometimes we have to use our wisdom, Chachmos Nashim Ban Sabesa. Bina Yaseru Nasnal Yisho Yoser Mibi'ish. We have to know how to use our wisdom to sometimes stretch out Emes for the sake of Shalom. It gives real meaning to the words Shabbat Shalom or Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining. It should be a chus for the Li and Zechir Latova, the Neshama of Chayish, Prince Abbas of Ram, Allah Hashem, as well as that of my grandfather, Yitzchak Ben Moshe, on the occasion of Azir Tzay tomorrow, 6 Adar Be Shabbos Kodesh. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Tiskun Mitzvos, Umaisim Tovim, to our sponsor. Have a wonderful Shabbos Kol Tov to all.